Long before the pandemic hit New York, progressive activists and lawmakers had called for increased taxes on millionaires and billionaires to fund increased spending on education, healthcare, and the state's social safety net. In recent months, the argument has been made that tax increases are necessary to avoid drastic cuts to make up for lost revenue due to the economic collapse that accompanied COVID-19. To discuss the ongoing push, we're joined by Michael Kink, director of the Strong Economy for All Coalition, which is consisting of labor unions and progressive organizations. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with last week when New Jersey's governor and legislature struck a deal to raise income taxes on millionaires. What was your reaction to that agreement?
Well, you know, Governor Murphy and the legislature in New Jersey responded directly to this K-shaped economy. We have a small number of people that are doing better and better, and the vast majority of people that are struggling or losing ground. And what they did is said, we're going to use tax policy to address that directly. We're going to tax the millionaires, and we're going to provide some tax rebate checks directly to working people, low-income people, and middle-class people. So they used the millionaires tax to prevent the worst cuts before the legislature, and they used the millionaires tax to achieve some start on tax fairness, recognizing that there are some problems in the economy. There's an imbalance. The rich are getting richer while everyone else is struggling. And it doesn't make sense to cut services, to cut jobs, to cut the economy for most people when you can ask the wealthy who are doing just fine to contribute their fair share so that everyone else can survive. And Phil Murphy said that very directly. And I think that's an example for Andrew Cuomo. This is a national progressive leader, a former Goldman Sachs banker, not a flame-throwing left-wing radical. And he said, we've got to take steps at this moment in time to address the economic unfairness, to help regular people, and to ask the rich to pay more.
About 80% of the revenue they're going to bring in is going towards this rebate, which means not a lot of it is being used to offset any sort of reductions in spending or to increase spending on any sort of like social programs. Do you think that's the best use of this money, this $500 planned rebate?
Well, that was their choice, and that was just for this millionaire's tax portion. Mm-hmm. They're also talking about closing tax loopholes. I was heartened to hear Governor Murphy say very clearly that they're continuing to discuss a financial transactions tax on Wall Street trades that are executed in New Jersey.
Well, the millionaire's tax
is a part of the package, and giving some money back to regular people who are struggling is not a bad idea at all.
We just talked with a reporter who covers the New Jersey State House, and he says that they're not expecting any other revenue raisers, whether it's tax hole closures or new fees or new taxes, to be in the final budget as the result of this deal. So, I mean, it seems like this is all you're going to get in terms of new income revenue.
I've been happy to be able to work with some of the groups in New Jersey, including Make the Road New Jersey, that are working on this package. They're in continuing conversations with the governor and with legislative leaders. And I think just like New York, they're assuming that this is going to be a multi-step process, and that this was the first action that the legislature and the governor was taking together. So, you know, it's reasonable to say New York could do it a different way. We are looking at some very harsh cuts. We are looking at hundreds of thousands of jobs potentially lost if Governor Cuomo continues on his rampage of 20% across the board budget cuts. So, you know, New York might do it differently. We might invest more, but we have a tax fairness job to do. And I think that's an important part of this, addressing the inequality, addressing the tax unfairness, and making sure that essential public services are funded properly.
When it comes to New York's ability to fund essential services, education, healthcare, local governments, all which are in jeopardy of cuts of about 20%, according to the governor, if Washington, D.C. doesn't come to the rescue, how much money does the state need to raise from new taxes to prevent that future?
Well, Governor Cuomo and his budget director have been saying that we've got a $13, $14 billion budget gap. They've carried out some borrowing to close some of that hole, but they're continuing to ride along with a budget gap that's like, you know, $10 billion or more per year. They've gamed out this scenario where it's $60 plus billion over the next 3 years. I don't know how fast the economy will come back. I don't think anybody knows, and I don't know what the next year in Washington will bring. But the groups that are working together on the ground, community groups, labor unions, indivisible groups, faith leaders, have a package of bills. The top six bills would raise $25 billion or more. So we have a handful of bills that would only tax the rich, only tax millionaires and billionaires, only tax Wall Street, that would prevent the worst of the cuts. And, you know, we had some national economic figures do a briefing last week, and Jared Bernstein, who's an advisor to Vice President Biden, said that every dollar in budget cuts has a five-time spinoff effect, that the budget cuts are five times worse than tax increases for the economy. So austerity hurts the state's economy. It doesn't help it. You cannot starve yourself out of a recession. And again, when we have this K-shaped economy where the billionaires are seeing their wealth soar, $77 billion during the pandemic, when people that are making a lot are doing fine and people that aren't are struggling, that's something that tax policy can address directly.
We're talking with Michael Kink, director of the Strong Economy for All Coalition. So with 6 months left to go in the state's fiscal year, what is the package that you want to see adopted by the legislature and, I guess, signed into law by the governor that would make up for the $10 billion in lost revenue due to the pandemic?
Well, the first thing we should do is we should add some progressive brackets at the top end of our income tax. Only people making $1 million a year or more. But the legislation that's sponsored by Robert Jackson in the Senate and Linda Rosenthal in the Assembly would raise $4.5 billion a year by adding some additional progressive brackets at 1 and 5 and 10 and $100 million per year. It wouldn't put us higher than Jersey. It would keep us competitive with California, Jersey, Massachusetts, other, you know, slightly higher tax states. Recent reports show that those states are minting more than their share of millionaires, and that bill would bring in a bunch of money.
We would be higher than New Jersey if you factored in New York City's income tax as well, though, right?
Well, there are local taxes in New Jersey as well, property taxes. Right now in New York, the very wealthy pay a smaller percentage of their income in state and local taxes than working people do. So this would bring us a measure of tax fairness in New York. But just to say that
the income tax comparisons, I mean, it's a little misleading to say that we would have a lower income tax rate than New Jersey still.
We'd have a lower state income tax rate, and if people chose to live in New York City for all the benefits of living in New York City and raising money and working on Wall Street and being around other rich people, they would have to pay their share of the cost of living in New York City. Absolutely, and that's completely fair. One of the other measures that we're pushing for is the pied-à-terre tax, the tax on the second or third or fourth, fifth luxury homes of people that don't live there full time. Last year, Governor Cuomo said he was in favor of it. He said it was his idea. There were some drafting mechanisms that needed to be resolved, and that bill would raise $650 million.
Okay, so
there are
about
a couple
half of it.
Big items that we've been pushing, one of which is brand new and one of which is pretty old. The billionaire's tax proposal that's sponsored by Senator Jessica Ramos in the Senate and Assemblymember Carmen de la Rosa in the Assembly would require billionaires to pay income tax on their investment gains. Those are gains that are mostly untaxed at this point by state and federal law. They're mostly passed on to heirs and heiresses that become wealthy generation after generation. And having a state-level billionaire's tax, ours was the first in the nation. California introduced one afterwards. The recent estimate that we got from the economists that are developing it would raise $23 billion in the first year. This is a thing that could address the budget gap directly, and then it would raise $5 billion a year, year after year going forward. A very small number of people directly addressing this K-shaped economy, 118 billionaires, they have $600 billion in wealth. They pay lower tax rates than teachers and truck drivers. And this would ask them to pay income tax on their investment gains to raise a lot of money at a time when our state is in need.
And what was the old idea?
What's that?
And you said there was an old idea?
Yeah, the old idea is the stock transfer tax, which was proposed in 1905 by the Republican Party that wanted to lessen reliance on property taxes, help small businesses and homeowners, and tax rich people in New York City. That was the Republican Party's tax policy at that point. It's a sales tax on Wall Street trades. It was in force from 1905 to 1981 when a governor and a banker decided that the people of New York should give it all back to Wall Street. Since then, it's been rebated. Year after year, the people of the state of New York are collecting sales tax on stock trades and giving it back to the flash traders, the hedge funds, the private equity managers that conduct the vast majority of the trades. The range on the stock transfer tax, when you've got years with lots of trading and lots of volatility like we do this year, you're raising $13 billion. If you've got a year when things are a little bit more settled, you're raising $5, $6 billion. But that tax, if we just stopped rebating it, it's already on the books, we just have to keep the money, would provide more than enough money to stop the vast majority of cuts that are targeted at schools and public services across the state.
We had Senate Finance Committee Chair Liz Krueger, a Manhattan Democrat, on the show earlier this month, and she said the legislature could really only act if they had a three-way deal with the governor and downplayed the powers lawmakers have in setting fiscal policy. From your perspective, what can lawmakers do by themselves if Governor Cuomo is reluctant to adopt any higher taxes?
I respect Senator Krueger. I think the best scenario would be if the legislature and the governor got together, recognized the scope of the crisis. I would love to see Andrew Cuomo giving the same sort of speech that Phil Murphy gave last week, recognizing that the rich are getting richer. You know, at one of his press conferences, he talked about the rich millionaires that are doing just fine. Governor Cuomo understands that this is a reality. And I think that the legislature needs to take action. They should convene. They should pass these bills. The voters want it. You know, the recent poll by Hart Research showed that 9 out of 10 New Yorkers supported taxing the rich to prevent the worst budget cuts. This is something that's politically popular. It's backed by a majority of Democrats, a majority of Republicans, a majority of independents. You know, when you've got 80% of Republicans agreeing that it's time to tax the rich to stop budget cuts in their communities, this is not something that Democratic lawmakers should be afraid of.
We've been speaking with Michael Kink, director of the Strong Economy for All Coalition. Michael, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.